do a quick review of what we learned so far, very important. I'm sure a very deep machlokas, but we're taking it on its simplest level between the Rambam and the Mekubalim. I believe machlokas between the Rambam and the Zohar. As not a particular Mekubal, Derech HaRambam, which and the Derech of the Zohar, into what is the nature of the neshama. That's what we discussed. And the question is very clear, if not simple, but it's clear. And that is the nature of the neshama such? I'm feeling bad. Women, you want to sit? You could sit in front of the mechitza. Just sit in there. It's mostly because I don't want to scream. Let's sit up here in this bench. Yeah. Anybody mind? No? Okay. So the Rambam seems to indicate that, and he says this in a number of places, and I started actually to write down the Maror HaMakomos, which I can bring you. The Rambam seems to indicate in a number of places, and it's almost simple that that's the Derech of the Rambam, that a person is born, and you're born with a neshama, and the neshama is that which gives you the ability to grow the spirituality within a person, the conscious within a person. The Rambam puts it in all kinds of ways. And what he's talking about, you're basically born with a blank canvas, a very good piece of canvas, but it's a blank canvas, and it's our job through chinuch, self-chinuch, our job with our children, our job through Torah mitzvahs, through learning Torah, to develop that that neshama into the place which he calls das. Das is the highest level that a person has to get to. So says the Rambam. Zohar speaks about something different. He speaks about the neshama. Zohar speaks about, the neshama, which comes into this world pre-wired, pre-programmed, predestined in a way, in terms of potential. And that means that the neshama could be very old. Neshama could be 1,000 years old, 2,000 years old. Who knows? I don't know anything about it. There are Gilgulim. There's all kinds of things that a neshama goes through, which a goof doesn't go through. And as such, by the time the neshama gets to us, you know, we have a neshama within us somewhere. So by the time that neshama gets to us, it has already a lot of experience, a lot of potential, a lot of, there's a lot of koach in that neshama, and the goof is a keli. So it's not, we're starting, it's interesting, Rambam Lashitase probably doesn't seem to hold of Gilgulim altogether. So it makes sense, you're starting, we come into life, baby is born, fresh piece of paper, go for it. But it's much more complex, if you will. I don't know exactly if the Rambam would disagree with this, or he wasn't just, it wasn't the way he was thinking, or he wasn't exposed to the Chachmas HaKabbalah. I don't know. I'm not going into that essay right now. That's a big discussion, which I'm not a bucky in. But I know the Lubavitchers like to say that the Rambam learned Kabbalah first towards the end of his life. So the things that he wrote were not Opi Kabbalah. I don't know what's the Raya to that, but that's what they say. Other people say, no, he was a rationalist and had no Kabbalah at all, and just everything he came to was with Talmud Bavli and the Seichel. Makes no difference. The point is, I'm just saying it more for convenience sake and for our purposes. For our purposes, what's important to understand is that there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is that we're fresh, we're new, we've got this fantastic kli, and go make it into something. What we're working on here with the Ramak, based on the Zohar, is something different. We're pre-wired, we're pre... our neshama has all kinds of potential, and as he brings the Gemara says, Mefurish, that an uber bimei imai, that a child before he's born, a fetus, before it comes into this world, a malach is already coming and teaching it kol ha-tara kula, and then the malach makes it... forget the Torah. What's all that Gemara talking about? Amar Rabbi Simloi, we learned it together. What's that Gemara talking about? The Gemara is talking about the Tahalich of the Neshama even before it becomes into the Guf, before it comes into its own. So we see even from the Gemara Mefurish that there is something going on, learning Kol HaTorah Kulo, whatever that means. You know, by the way, the Gra, I think I said this on Thursday, the Gra, which is brought not by the Gra, but brought by his brother, the Malach HaTorah, at the end of his Sefer, brings that Torah that the Malach teaches each one of us before we're born, what that Torah actually is our personal Torah, meaning everybody has their own Chelik and Torah. What I'm going to be Mechadish, you're not going to be Mechadish. What I'm going to understand and get a particular insight to, you're not going to. What you're going to have an insight into, I'm not going to. That's the same, we daven for this, the same Chelkenu Mesayra Sech. Everybody has a different Chelik and Torah. So as such, you see, he brings from the Gra that there was something it's a very deep insight that what we're born with is everybody different. It's unique. It can't be unique if it's all the same piece of paper. Might be have different personality and different IQ levels, but basically it's not unique. So that's the machlokas that we spoke about. And I want to move into Torah, but I wanted to, and we talked about the Malbim, how the Malbim talks about how a person is born with information. That's what we learned last week at the end. I just want to, before we go further, just give me 1 second, Amatzia. Okay, Amatzia. Oh.
It's interesting that this verse says that the neshama is in the head and the brain. Is there any significance in terms of this?
I think so. I think that's a good point. And you know, like I was always taken with the fact that when most people say my neshama, they go like this. And whenever Rav Moshe Shapiro all of a sudden said my neshama, he went like this. It's called moichin. It's moichin, you know. I think it's all a mushel anyway. I don't think there's shabbos anywhere.
Rambam, it's really seichel. I mean, it's that function.
But right.
Others, it doesn't seem to be.
Or
just
Moshe
seichel.
Shapiro is a bukubel. Yeah.
But it's not just seichel. For the Rambam, it does appear that it's primarily seichel.
Not sure. There's a lot of personality that goes into it and a lot of regesh that goes into it. He talks about all those things.
The Rambam.
Well, what a person's born with, if you will. Tchunai Seneshom. Right. Let me just read to you just one more introduction before we get into the text. But Reb Tzadok HaKoyin in the Tzidkas HaTzadik Kuf Mem Tes. I'll read you a couple of lines here. Reb Tzadok says, Shleimus HaAdam. The question here is, how does a person, let's say, Al Pi HaKabbalah, and that's where we're going here. Let's leave the Rambam aside for a second, or for 6 weeks. Al Pi HaKabbalah, every person is different. Because everybody comes to this world with another neshama. You're coming to the table with something else. Lashon of the Zohar in Hebrew is Haneshama Yeredes L'toich Haguf Hitzoyekes. Neshama is saying, what are you putting me into this world for? And the answer is Yeridazu Tzarech Aliyah. It's to make an Aliyah. But everybody is different. So how does a person know, right, the $64 question, how are we supposed to know what our Neshama is meant to do? Whereas we all go to the same schools, we send our kids to the same schools, we're all learning the same Torah, we're all learning the same Aleph Beis, we all have the same Rebbe. Like, and somehow or another, you know, the Rebbe is supposed to bring out the distinction between every child, which he doesn't. There's no such thing, not a Rebbe, not a Beis Yaakov teacher. Nobody does that I know of. So what are you looking at? You're looking at the talents of a person, the different, how are you, is it a Montessori system? Like, how do you bring out the particular neshama? What is chinuch? And how does a person know? More important question is, how does a person know what their neshama is to know what their shleimus is, to know what they're supposed to be doing? So Reb Tzadok says as follows. He says, Shleimus ha'adam, what is shleimus? Shleimus ha'adam, hu kishiyia kach k'moishu hu masig ha'shleimus shetzarech lihais. The way you know your shleimus is by knowing what your hasaga of shleimus is. Listen to something very deep. I'll just give you a little tip. When you learn different svarim of different systems. And let's say you learn a Litvisha Sefer, the svarim, the acharonim, so there's always one derech in them, and they start with a question. They usually say it a yesoid, and then with that you answer the question. That's usually the derech of most Litvisha svarim. In Chassidish svarim, like the Tzidkas HaTzadik and the Sfas Emes, in Chassidish svarim is a different derech. They say the yesoid right out there at the beginning. No kasha. They don't keep you in suspense. And it's a good tip to know, because if you're learning through Chassidish svarim, which I bless everybody that you should be able to do, if you really would learn the first sentence in every Torah, whether it's Reb Nachman, whether it's Reb Tzadok, you'll pretty much know what they're saying. And now the rest of it is commentary, and the rest of it is so interesting. In this particular version of Tzidkas HaTzadik, I just want to point this out. So he puts the first sentence in bold. So the first sentence, so somebody should just make a book about, with just the first sentences of it's something like me. You see, I want to make a book which has just the title page of all the books that I want to write. Have like 150 pages.
The abstract.
No books, just the title page. I'm writing a book on this, I'm writing a book on that. I got so many different things. Meantime, I'm not writing any books. Yeah. But so the big bold letters here are Shleimus Ha'adam, no question, stating a fact. Shleimus Ha'adam, who, what is it? Kishiyia kach kamoshu masiga Shleimus Ha'tzarech liyot. I read the rest, and I'm just going to tell it to you. That what it means is that sometimes a person... Well, think to yourself, imagine to yourself, what is truly greatness? What is true greatness? Like, what would a really great person do in this situation? I'm not such a great person, but what would a great person do in this situation? And interesting, it's an interesting test. You could do it with a room full of people, a room full of teenagers. Like, what do you think the answer is? Not what you would do. That's a different question. What would you do? What do you think a great person would do? And you'll get all kinds of different answers. It says Reb Tzadok that Kadosh Baruch Hu wired into every person's neshama a hasaga, a musag, a concept of greatness, and that concept of greatness is the shleimus of your neshama. That's where you need to get to. And he says that it's at some point in life, young, early on probably, you actually get a picture of yourself as the greatest person that you can be, and everybody's picture is different, but that's a picture of your neshama, as he puts it, bimlo'o, fully developed neshama, comes in this picture, and now my whole life is to work towards that goal. Opposite of the Rambam, right? But the nekuda is that it's not a mystery. It's basically in our, maybe the word is imagination. What we consider to be godless, that's godless for us. If you stretch yourself to think of the greatest level of godless, that's godless for us. How do you, sometimes you meet a person who could be such a role model, and you say, okay, I want to be like that person. So, okay, that's, different people are attracted to different types of gedolim because different people have different neshamas. One can never think about, why is this one not attracted to that one? Who knows? It has to do with the neshama and the sharish neshama. And somehow or another, this person is either getting me to or an example of the godless that I want to come to. That's how you choose a Rebbe. The other thing is Reb Tzadok points out, he says that a person should never try to reach the hasaga of shleimus of somebody else. That would be a crime. Because if I'm trying to be you and you're trying to be me, and it's not the Christian, then we're not the same neshama, so you're gonna get all messed up. It's not something it could be. This is the shleimus ha'adam, which the Talmud Dvar talks about repeatedly, to be shalem. Tamim tiyayim Hashem alekecha. Shalem, that's the targum. Shalem tiyayim Hashem alekecha. Shleimus means to complete your neshama to where it is meant to go, what it was created for. To use a horrible mashal, but it's the only mashal that comes to mind, is to take a computer and to and to program it to its complete potential. Complete potential. Like it can do amazing things that we don't even know they can do. But they can do those things. Kal v'chomer, the neshama, it's pre-wired, you know, it's like a Mac. It's pre-wired with all these things. Yeah.
It's not a stira, though, to the Rambam. Could be the neshama is still a clean slate, and yet you have a
nevuah
of where I should go.
I'm feeling like it's that the Rambam wouldn't like this, but maybe I'm wrong. But the he calls this, by the way, this moment of realization of what greatness is. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to do the experiment right now. But everybody in this room has a different understanding of the ultimate greatness. Of course, there's common denominators. We're all nice people and all that. But greatness, people have a different hasaga. He calls when you have this picture in your mind, if you're zocha to this picture, maybe you have to pray for it. So that's called, he calls it a nevuah katana. Why a nevuah katana? You're getting a glimpse, that's what nevuah is, into a higher world. Nevuah means that I'm taking something which is in the Shemayim, And I'm able to bring it into this world for people to see. Hashem is giving you a gift of a nevuah. You're seeing something which we're going to explain. I think to jump, you're seeing something in the Midas HaKeser, and you're bringing it into the Zion Spheres, which is what nevuah is. That's what nevuah is. Nevuah is taking, like you said, from the Moichin and bringing it into the Spheres, which we're going to explain. Don't worry if you don't understand. But that's where we're going with the Tamer Torah.
Of godless that's relevant to him. But Mahara, that means that for every situation, there are 100 different ways to express godless.
Yes.
There has to be one response to a situation.
There's a halachic response.
So what's
so this is exactly, that's an actually excellent question and an excellent segue to where I want to go right now. There is halacha and there is godless. What do I mean? So first of all, let me share with you like this. If you look at your Talmud Devarah, which I hope you have, the first words of the Talmud Devarah, we read it quickly. Let's read it slowly. Ha'adam ra'oi shi'yadam el-koinai. Now, first of all, let's understand, according to everything that we just learned, everything that we said, that the neshama that we have is something which starts in Shema. It's as the words of the Zohar goes, as a chelak elikai mimal, it's godly. Without getting into the discussion of, you know, what is its physical nature, because it doesn't have a physical nature. But we're not talking about the personality and we're not talking about the conscience. We're talking about neshama. Neshama shenasato b'tahirhi, it came straight from Hashem. What is that neshama? Straight from Hashem, because Hashem wants to put godliness into this world. He created us a goof to carry this neshama. Yeah? Simple enough. We get up in the morning, we say, Moda ani lefanecha. How's it go? I haven't gotten up yet. Shechzarto bi nishmasi bechemlo rabo emunasecha. Shechzarto bi nishmasi. In other words, you gave me the neshama, the neshama goes back to you, the neshama comes back to me. The neshama is the one that's communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's returned to me. I am the Keli. So, you know, like the phone goes into its charger at night, gets all charged up, comes back into our goof. We wake up in the morning. Modani lefanecha. The neshama. And then we say later, Elikai neshama shenasata bi tahoirihi. Ata verasa, listen to the words. Ata yitzarta, ata nefachta bi, you have bria, yitzira, asiya. It's all there coming into this world. So that's what the neshama is. So that neshama that we have, what are we supposed to do with it? So says the Talmud Devarah, ha'adam, yes.
Stop on the first word, adam.
Mankind, everybody. How do I know? Everybody. How do I know? Because it says in Pirkei Avos that Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Malikim. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Malikim. How do I know that's not only Jews? because the next sentence goes, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shnikroim Bonim Lamakom. So everybody, that's the pshat. Everybody is called B'Tselem Elokim. Everybody's B'Tselem Elokim. But there's another madrega of a ben. So it means like all of mankind has similarities. Yeah, we all have noses and eyes and brains and hearts. Everybody has the same thing.
Same neshama.
A neshama. But Yisrael, Nikroim Banim Lamakom. So in other words, like we could all be the same, but if my son would be sitting here next to me or over there, yeah, you could already see a similarity. Not just in looks, but in personality. There's already some similarity between a father and a son. So when we're talking about the levels of similarity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody's B'Tselem Elokim, and that's what we're talking about, the everybody right now. And Yisrael is a different madrega, Tselem plus. Banim Lamakim. Okay, so let me do the first two words. Ha'adam royish yadam elokoinai. So the Shalah HaKadosh, by the way, the Shalah HaKadosh, the whole Shalah is based on the Tamer Dvara. It's on the Ramak in general. And the Shalah says, what do you mean? Roy Adam Shiyadam Elokoina. Roy means it is befitting, it's a good thing, it's a nice idea. That's what Roy means. It should say, he asks, Chayev. Why should it say Chayev? You're obligated to do such. Why? Because it says Mufurish in Parshas Ektev, V'halachta B'drachav, you have to act like Hashem. Mahu Rachum, Rashi says, Havatoti Rachum. It says it again in Parshas Rei, and it says it again in Parshas Kisetze. Three times it says that you have to be like Hashem. So what's this Roy, like it's a good idea? It's the law. That's his kasha, the Shlah's kasha.
Perhaps the intent here is Roy in terms of potential. Everyone has the potential.
Right. Doesn't mean it's a good thing. It means Roy, it's a potential. Yeah, nice. Let me tell you what the Shlah answers, which is by no means a steerer to what you're saying. I have his lashon here. I looked it up this morning. It was hard to find. Shalaz and Asar Mamaris Maimer Shvi. He says, Sha mitzvah shel v'halachta b'drachav nemra al midosav yisbarach hamisgalos lanu boi lameinu. There's two sets of midos that we're dealing with here. Midos of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. Now in Elul, he's there in Har Sinai. Finally, on talking to Hashem about, negotiating with Hashem about forgiving the Jews for the Egel, and on Yom Kippur, Hashem taught him the Midos HaRachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun Erechabayim, which is what our Slichus is all about. And on Yom Kippur, he said, V'salachti, Salachti Kidvarecha, okay, I'll forgive, now that you said those Yud Gimel Midos, I will forgive the Jewish people. And hence we have Yom Kippur, because every year at this time, Hashem says, Salachti Kidvarecha. Yomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. Those, says the Shalah, that whole story, are Moshe Rabbeinu revealing the Midos Tachtoinos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard to say, but it's not to say that this is first grade or this is kid stuff. Midas Tachtonis means that which is gully, that which everybody sees about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not like a lower class, a lower level. But that there are things about Hashem that everybody can see, and there's things about Hashem that nobody can see. And there's some stuff in between. The stuff that everybody can see is, hey, Jewish people, didn't Hashem take you out of Mitzrayim? Didn't he do a Kriyas Yamsuf? Didn't he have Rachmanis even where you didn't deserve it? Isn't he a Rachu Machanun? Didn't he give Eser Makos to the Egyptians and not to you, Erech Hapayim? Rav Chesed, didn't you walk out loaded with lots of money and stuff? Emes, all those things are things that you can see. And what Hashem said to Moshe is, pay attention to what you can see. Those are called the Midos HaTachtonos. And on this, the Torah says there's a chiyuv, a mitzvah essay. It's according to everybody who counts mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah essay of a halachta b'drachav. This is not a ra'ui. This is a chiyuv. But it's not the subject of the Tomer Dvar. An important subject, but it's not the subject of the Tomer Dvar.
Because
Because Tumah Dvar is in Keser, so it doesn't. Really
that's right. That's the point. So what is the Tumah Dvar talking about? And I pointed out on Thursday that it's ki'ilu a mistake, because if you look, mistake people make, because if you look at many machzers, including the Artscroll machzer by Tashlich, it matches up the psukim of Micha with the Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum. They might match, I'm not sure, but they're definitely in a different order, which is problematic. It's not the same thing. If it was the same thing, then Micha would have said, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Uchanan, was they have to improve on Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the point? But you understand that Moshe Rabbeinu's job, his neshama, was to take that which is sasum and to be megalit. Everything that we have, who knows what the Kabbalah is and not cooking milk and meat together? Who knows what the Tamim is of Parah Aduma? But Moshe Rabbeinu was able to say, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalei, don't cook the two of them together. Don't cook the two of them together. The Torah Shabbat Pat expands it even more. But Moshe Rabbeinu's job, so to speak, was not to teach Kabbalah. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to be Megala, which is probably the pshat in the Gemara in Menachos, where it tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was Ola to Shamayim, he saw Rabbi Akiva, who knew more than him, which is mind-boggling. And as many times as we learned this Gemara, that he saw Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was being darshaning all kinds of tilei tilim shel halachas hakol ois v'ois, all kinds of halachas, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, so make him the boss. What are you making me the boss? Hashem told him, shtok. You just don't get involved with this. Meaning that he not only did Rabbi Akiva, not only was Rabbi Akiva revealing more than Moshe Rabbeinu, it could be he knew more than Moshe Rabbeinu. In the sense that he was delving into a different part. It wasn't his job. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's job. I mean, we see Moshe Rabbeinu knowing everything, which I'm sure he did on some level, but it wasn't his job to explain Kabbalah, if you will, to explain the deeper meanings of things. It was just to be Megala. Later on, as generations went on, so according to the Mekubalim, different pipelines opened up and were able to, like, type time of the... There's a story, this is a real story, that Rav Moshe Kardavaro, the author of Tomer Dvara, who lived in Sfas, and he was the Mekubal of the whole generation. And when he was dying, so they said to him, who's the next Mekubal of the generation? And so that there's a famous story that whoever is able to see the or come from Mahla to Mata, so he's the Mekubal of the next generation. But he said, but don't be confused. This is a written story from the Ramak, his last words. Don't be confused if whoever that talks about something different than what I'm talking about. Because he says, I spoke about Sphiros, and he's going to talk about Partsufim. Don't worry about it. I'm just telling you the story. I talk about Sphiros. He's talking about Partsufim, because when I leave this world, so the pipe opens up another step. And of course, as the story goes, that the Arizal heard that the Ramak died, and he came to the Beis HaKfaris and he said, don't bury him here, bury him there, because I see the Or coming down here. So everyone knew that the Arizal was the successor to the Ramak, and of course he spoke about Partsufim and not about and not about Sphiros. So that was all based, Partsufim are based on Sphiros. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva, like Hasha Alai, I don't think it's so schwer. But that's I really want to bring another nakuda here, that there's another story, a recorded conversation, written conversation, between the Leshem, who was also a Mekubal Hador. That was the Leshem was Rav Yashav's grandfather. So the Leshem met Rav Yisrael Salanter, who was the father of the Musar movement. And the Leshem said to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you're teaching so much to so many people. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, based basically on Masilas Yesharim, he says, why don't you learn more Kabbalah and teach that? And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter told him, I'm sure whatever we know Rabbi Yisrael Salanter knew, but Rabbi Yisrael Salanter answered the Leshem. He says, I don't need to know why. I just need to know that if I do this wrong, I'm going to get a patch. In other words, for him, the schar v'onash and the implications stood by themselves. And for the Leshem, he was talking about the kind of a level of Lamalo, which I think is the whole Derech of, and you find this over and over again, by the way. You find, you know, like the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that's the Baal HaTanya. So he paskins different than he says in Shulchan Aruch. There's a Rav Shulchan Aruch, and then there's what they call, Chabadniks call the Siddur HaRav. So the Siddur is a lot of the steers between the Psakim that you'll find in the Siddur, Tehillas Hashem, and in the Siddur, and then in the Shulchan Aruch of the Rav. So they asked him, you're a Tzaiser yourself. So he said, this is Alpi Kabbalah and this is Alpi Nigla. And if you're inclined that way, which is not our derech we go is with halacha. But what we mean here is, and this is what the Shalai answers. Hamitzvah shalva alachta bedrachem nemar al midos of yisparach hamiskalis lano boilameinu. That when we're talking about the halachta bedrachem, the mitzvah essay in Parshas Ekev, so where we're talking about the midos hamiskalis, those that are revealed. Shehu rachum v'chanun boisachesed. A Toimer Dvaira, says the Shlah, the Toimer Dvaira, Malamit Shigamba Hanagaisav Hayoiser Pnimis Sarachadam Lidamis. Mashaf Kamosha Efshir Lumidaisav Yisparach. And that's a Ra'ui. You can't be Machai of a person to act like God on the deepest place. It's in the Asar Mamaris. So he says the Ramak, Ramosha Kordavaro, in the Toimer Dvaira, wrote for us a Shulchan Aruch of the midos el yoynei serpnimius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to the midos chitzonius of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody with me on this? So hence the lashon of Ra'ui. So allow me to make a comment on this. Let's say a person... We say tshuva. It's the season now for tshuva. So in tshuva, a person does something bad, does a chet, and now you want to change yourself. And it works. The Torah tells us it works. There's such a thing as doing tshuva. Tshuva doesn't just mean that I've changed my behavior, but I've actually changed the essence of myself and I've changed what I've done. So it's ad kedei kach, everybody knows, that if you do tshuva correctly, Zadainois nasa kischuyos. That if you did an aveira b'meizah, if you did a deliberate aveira, mamish a deliberate aveira, it turns into a mitzvah. Which is a pele. I can't believe that any rehabilitation officer sees this as zadainois nasa kischuyos. It means to say that, let's say, Reuven kills his mother. Did I reach deep enough with that? And he does tshuva. He does tshuva. There's no such thing as something you can't do tshuva on, because the Gemara just says certain things ain't maspikim biyadei lasa tshuva. It's not saying you can't do tshuva, you're just not gonna. Ain't maspikim biyadei lasa tshuva.
It doesn't tell you until you die.
Yecholiyot, but the point is you could do tshuva. No, but so what? You could do tshuva. When that's and the Zdoinois, that Aveira that killed his mother, becomes a mitzvah. Is it possible to understand? No. That's the answer. Why is it impossible to understand? Because it's impossible to understand God. That's all. There's a certain aspect of Hashem that we can't understand. So how does it work? So the Sfarim explained to us how it works. It's, by the way, it's amazing, because everything that we talked about the Rambam is the master of Hilchos Tshuva. He's the one who taught us that there's such a thing as Hilchos Tshuva. And then afterwards, Rabbeinu Yoinu. And this halach is in the Rambam. So that's, again, something we need to be miyashe. How does it work? It works like this, that there's our world that we live in. There's worlds that are higher than us. And there are worlds that are so high that there's no difference between good and bad in those words. Echad apashut. The oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such that there is no good and bad. That's here, good and bad. There's no good and bad in Shemayim. Memeila, if there's such a thing, this is called in Zayar, the Oitzer Matnas Chinam. and even higher. So the highest place by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we don't understand, there's no good, there's no bad. It's Einohach. I mean, a little bit, I guess, we can understand. We can understand sometimes, we can see that if it wasn't for such an avera, so some good would not have come out. We've all seen this in our life. We could even see some good that came out of the Holocaust. But anybody who pretends to try to explain the Holocaust is a shoiter. Who could understand such thing? But in Shemayim, obviously, in the highest place in Shemayim, there's a plan. It's not chaos. There's a plan. This is Ani Ma'amin Be'Emunah Shleima. This is the simple Emunah of a Jew. That there's an Echad in Shemayim. Hashem Echad, Shema Echad. That's what we say, Shema Yisrael. There is no good and bad. Everything is Echad. So it's not a kasha, how zdoinois nasa kishuyos. That if I can do tshuva, I can get to such a high place with my tshuva, or my tshuva can raise to such a high place, that even a chet, b'mezit, could become a chet, could become a mitzvah, kishuyos. We get the math. To try to understand how it works is beyond us. I don't know if you're even allowed to think of how it works. But we understand the math. What happens is that it goes to such a place, tshuva takes it to such a place where there's no difference between good and bad. But you have to do tshuva mi'ahava. So here's the scenario. Somebody goes and murders another person. A witness sees it, and he's warned, and he's taken away to Beis Din, and Sanhedrin decides that he's chayav misa, and they're going to kill him. This didn't happen too often, but it's happened. You're chayav misa, death penalty. And on the way to the gallows, he turns around and he says, okay, guys, the event is off. I just did tshuva mi'ahava. Okay, what do we do with that? So the answer is very clear. We don't do anything with it. And it even says that the dayan, as you see this in the Rima Gash in Sanhedrin, the dayan turns to the person. He says, that'll help you in Shemayim, but it's not going to help you here.
Death is part of the truth.
That is part of the tshuva. Now, is it the pshat that is that going to help you here? Because how do we really know you did tshuva? How are we supposed to? Nobody knows really what's going on in another person's heart. Or is it the pshat that no, a shemayim shemayim l'ashem ba'aretz no san livnei adam? We're not in the domain of something bad turning into something good. We don't live in that world. We know about it. Hence, the dayan tells him, this will help you in Shemayim, because in Shemayim, what you did bad, will actually, you know, maybe the murder you did will give you a place next to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Shemayim. Because you're really bad. So you can go really high. So it's not just that we don't know, but there's a psak halacha for this world, and then there's a psak halacha in Shemayim. And we have to make peace with the fact that these are two different places, one we understand, one we don't understand. There's a psak halacha here, instructions, rules, which are not the rules in Shemayim. So,
can't be
what's a suffix?
Whether you believed him or not. Because if it was true that you believed him, that you would stop the procedure, then the fact that there would be a suffix on the table would stop you from being able to do it.
You're right, you can't kill somebody with a suffix. So the pshat is that even if we believe you 1,000,000%, it's not going to change the halacha here. And that's why I say for us, we have halacha, because halacha is an operating system for this world. Whereas anything that we're learning in on a higher level is not the operating system of this world. Hence the Talmud Dvar says, Ra'ui la'adam shizdam l'kanya. Nevertheless, wouldn't it be cool if we can know how it's operating, at least on some level, in the Shemayim, because then we would know more, important sentence, about our neshama. Because the neshama is coming from that world. So if you really want to understand your neshama correctly, it would be kedai to go at least as far as the higher midos. There are 7 midos of Hashem, which are revealed. There are 3 midos of Hashem which are not revealed, but possibly accessible on some level. And then there's infinity, which we have no idea about. So when we're talking about chesed, gevura, tiferes, netzach, hoyd, yesoid, malchus, we can get a handle on that. You have to learn. Learn Torah, you know. When you're talking about the higher three levels, which is keser, chachma, and bina, those are the three on top, the segel on top. So maybe I've got to get that whiteboard back here. Inverted segel. Inverted segel. So it's keser, chachma, bina. So it's beyond what we could understand or do, but we can get a type of a glimpse of it. But by the way, the Tanya of the Bala Tanya, the Tanya of the Bala Tanya, so he changed these three, if you will, from keser, inverted segel, to segel. From keser, chachma, and bina, to chachma, bina, and das, chabad. Das. Das is the practical, the more practical side of the keser. And the whole Sefer HaTanya is to explain not the seven spheros. This is for that to have Rabbi Shmuel Salanter. the whole point of the Sefer HaTanya is to invert the segel. Don't get involved with chachma or bina. Get involved with das, which is the flip side of the coin of keser. So if you can imagine something which is facing up and facing down, right? So what's facing down, we can get some or from. What's facing up, ein lanu musag. So even though this is his whole thesis of the Sefer HaTanya, this is what it's all about. If you ever learn Tanya and you don't know this, then you miss the point. That the whole point of the Sefer HaTanya is to show the Bechina of Das, which is the other side of the Keser. No, I don't think so. But I don't know if it's the same das. He says it is. Okay, he says it is. Hence, it's all about das. It all comes down to das. So again, it's the halacha that a Sanhedrin is doing and a Beis Din is doing. And then there's what's lamalu imenu. Comes the timer devara. And I'm just, again, I only got through four words here. Maybe we have 2 minutes to go through the next four words. Ha'adam ra'oi sheyedame lekoinoi. That it's kind of befitting that we should study, and as the Shalosh says, that the Talmud Torah made a Shulchan Aruch of the Midos Elyonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, instead of going further, I just want to give just one example of what we're going to learn, which is always so hard. The based on what I said before, and with this we'll until Thursday. If a person wrongs us, wrongs you, wrongs me, in any which way, did something which is really, really hurtful for me, do I have to forgive him? So, do I have to forgive them? I mean, they really hurt me. Do I have to forgive them if they don't apologize? So, when it's not happening to the person, we say, look, don't you believe in tshuva? There's such a thing. But if they really hurt us, they took away our job, they took away our children, they did something terrible to us. Unfortunately, many people have people in their lives that have done something terrible to them. Sometimes it's a parent, sometimes it's a spouse, sometimes there's all kinds of scenarios. Do I need to forgive them? So, al pi halacha, the halacha is very clear about this, that if somebody asks you mechila three times, and it's a sincere mechila, you could even demand that if he did something bad to you in public, you could even demand that the mechila is asked in front of a minyan. This is all in the Rambam. Halachas hamagulas. You must forgive him or her. Somebody asked forgiveness three times. They did it properly. They undid what they did. You forgive the person. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. Comes the Talmud Devara, and he says something which is so hard. He says, if you're going with the midos of Hashem, not mechuyev, you're not mechuyev. But if you're going with the midos of Hashem, the bad has to become good. Loimachnis ra lefan of klal, says the Talmud Dvar. He doesn't allow any bad in his chamber. There's no bad. So it's not just, you know, okay, so I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to trust you. This is so hard. I mean, every time I come to this in the Talmud Dvar, I'm ready to close the book because what am I supposed to, like, I'll forgive you, but I'm supposed to, like, somehow erase the bad that you did? There's a lot to talk about this and a lot to learn about it. But the short answer is, according to the Rambam, not necessary. According to the Talmud Dvar, which is a different Shulchan Aruch, yes, try to do that, because that's what Hashem does. And that's what we want Hashem to do with us, right? Like a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, we want to have a fresh slate. Stop reminding me about the things that I did when I was 17. We don't want to go there. So just like we don't want Hashem to go there, we have this ability, we're wired to be able to do that. It's not mechuyev. But it's a different level. That is the level, which we'll talk about in 6-7 pages, but that's the level of the Talmud Dvar. It's Mila D'Shmaya. But the Mila D'Shmaya that every person can grasp, which is the Keser. There's something we can learn about it, and you needed a big mekubal to teach us about it. But thank you very much.